Sitting by a Stream, November 12, 2011, by Ernie Noll. In my dream, I am standing as an observer in what I know to be a large convention center room with many men and women. As I walk around, I hear them talking about Jesus. Some mention what he has done for them. Others state how they had no purpose, but then Jesus changed their life. Some are more sincere as they speak. I now notice a man speaking to different people, one at a time. I become very happy because I know this man, but there are those he approaches who do not know him. They listen for just a short time to what he says. Some interrupt him and begin talking about Jesus, but I understand that what they say is just superficial. Once in a while, some listen and begin to smile. Then, beaming with happiness, they hug him and fall to their knees at his feet. He hugs them and points them toward a certain corner of the room. These select individuals gather together in a corner where they share their happiness. I cannot understand why the rest are not happy to see this man. He visits each one and waits for them to recognize who he is. However, when they do not, he simply moves on to the next person. This reminds me of how the disciples did not recognize Jesus on the road to Emmaus. So it is with this large group of people. This man who walks up to each individual is Jesus. If they do not know him, he moves on. Many speak glowingly as if they knew Jesus personally, but when he comes to speak to them, they do not even know who he is. Only a small number look into the eyes of Jesus and immediately recognize the one who gave all for them. When Jesus finishes speaking to each one, he walks over to me and says that he is finished. He points to the corner, where he has instructed those who know him to go and wait, and says that I am now to teach them. He tells me that he will send his Spirit with great power to do the final great work. I turn to walk toward the corner, and as I do, for the first time I notice it is not just me Jesus is speaking to. I am one of several men who are wearing a blue mantle lined with white on the inside. I now understand he is speaking to those he has selected to serve and teach. These are his people who truly long to meet him and not just speak about him. These are his sheep who long for their master. Now he instructs his ministers to watch over and care for, to teach and to feed each of his precious ones. Now I hear a voice calling my heavenly name. I look to see who is calling my name and notice I am no longer in a meeting hall. Instead, I am walking along a trail lined with the most beautiful young seedling trees. The path looks newly created for me to walk along. Now I realize that I have been walking along with Jesus. He tells me that he has chosen this day to talk and be with me. He explains that he has messages he wants me to share, but he also just wants to spend time with me. I tell him that where we are, everything looks so new. He tells me that the earth will be made new, and that this is also for his people to know what it will be like to spend time together. He says, "Notice how many other people are with us." I look around and see no one. He asks, "How many angels do you see attending us?" I look around and again see no one. He reveals that this is the time he is waiting for, when he can spend time together with each of his people one at a time. As we walk along, Jesus places his left arm around my shoulder and tells me that he is looking forward to the time when he can walk with each of his people along a path just like this one. He looks at me and says, "It sure is quiet, though." I tell him I notice that there are no birds singing. He smiles and says, "Let us enjoy the songs of birds." And with that, we are softly serenaded by a beautiful choir of birds. As we continue walking, Jesus explains that those who stood in the corner of the room are those he is searching for. He is looking for those who are willing to overcome Satan and live a life without sin. He knows there will not be many, but the number will be complete. They will walk with Jesus daily, and their names will be written in the book of life. He will hold these dear precious ones, those who will be clothed in white. Jesus and I stop, and he tells me to look to the sky. He says, "Here's what I instructed my prophet Ellen White to write regarding my precious, precious ones." I look to the sky and see these words, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not." Oh, how precious is that not! I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3, verse 5. When the gates of the city of God swing back on their glittering hinges, and the nations who have kept the truth shall enter in, Christ will be there to welcome us, to call us the blessed of the Father, because we have overcome. He will welcome us before the Father and before his angels. As we enter the kingdom of God, there to spend eternity, the trials and the difficulties and the perplexities that we have had here will sink into insignificance. Our life will measure with the life of God. General Conference Bulletin, April 6, 1903. Ye Shall Receive Power, page 363. Jesus says that it is written, To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 2, verse 7. He says that he will pick fruit from the tree of life and feed those who overcame. He will spend eternity with each one. Now Jesus asks, Why don't we go over here and sit by the stream for a while? We walk toward a stream and sit down together next to it. Jesus immediately puts his feet into the stream. He laughs and says, The water feels so good. It is not cold or hot. I remove my shoes and socks and put my feet in the water. I tell him that it does feel good. Jesus leans back, placing his arms behind him to support himself, and looks up at the sky. He remarks, What a beautiful day it is. I lean back, look up, and tell him, There is not a cloud in the sky. He asks, Would you like there to be clouds? I answer, I think it would look great if there were some big, soft clouds that look like pillows. Suddenly there are big, soft clouds floating by. He laughs and again says, It is such a beautiful day. With my feet still in the water, I continue to admire the beautiful stream, the green grass, flowers that are in abundance everywhere, the beautiful sky, and the clouds gently floating by. I look at Jesus, place my right arm around him, and hug him. I tell him I know that if it were not for him, I could not be there with him right now, and I could not experience all that I am seeing around me. He looks at me, smiles, and says that he would have done all that was needed to have me sitting next to him by a stream. As I look into his eyes, I still see a love that is so hard to explain, except to say that I see the love of the love of the love. Then Jesus asks, Have you noticed the fish in the stream? Leaning forward, I look into the stream and notice that it is full of creatures made by the very one sitting next to me. I observe a large variety of fish, but there is one kind that is quite unusual. There are several of them, and they stay close to each other. They have the most beautiful long, translucent fins that resemble thick tissue paper. As the light hits the water, the fins' colors change. The bodies of these fish do not have scales like other fish. Instead, they are covered with something that looks like long, flowing fur. As they swim, their beauty is astounding. Jesus tells me that I can pet these fish with my feet. As the fish gather around his feet, he shows me how to pet them. As he does this, I notice the sides of the fish swell a little, and what looks like small bubbles come from their mouths. Those bubbles come up out of the water and slowly rise in the air. As each bubble pops, it produces a musical note, and we hear a most beautiful melody. It is almost how a bird whistles, a cat purrs, or a cricket chirps. As I sit with Jesus, I am amazed at all that he has to show me. I think about his deep, compassionate care. He noticed the need of birds to serenade us as we walked along. He asked if there was anything that I thought was needed, and provided clouds for us to enjoy, the stream so full of life, and now a fish that I had never imagined. He has this and so much more. Jesus looks over at me, smiles, and tells me that it is not just the things that I see, but it is his desire to be with each of us. He tells me that he has a crown for his people who are willing to wear his robe of white. He has a mansion built and waiting for each of his faithful ones. Jesus leans back again, and it becomes very quiet. He looks at me and says that he wants me to share with all who will listen to his words. The Heavenly Father will cause things to happen. Things will be witnessed tomorrow that will shake the very foundations of all mankind. Even Satan will fear for his existence, just as he did at the time of Noah's flood. He wants each of his faithful ones to know that the Comforter will be with them. If they need the help of angels, they can simply ask. Many will be laid to rest as a result of what happens, so they will not have to experience the greatest days of trouble. Those who have had the name of Jesus on their lips and in their hearts will be called from their sleep in the ground to meet with him in the air. To those who stand waving the banner of Jesus and holding true to the law established in heaven, they will sit next to him and the Heavenly Father. Those who overcome will be dressed in the whitest of robes. Jesus will confess those to the Father and angels before the assembled universe. He asks all to not become discouraged. He has said that things need to happen. To those who suffer on this earth, Jesus promises to make things good at his second coming and in heaven. To those who suffer hunger, he will provide a banquet and place the cup personally to their lips. To those who are beaten and hurt, he will personally heal their wounds, and they will stand whole. To those who are put away in solitude, he will sit with them by a stream, and they will place their feet into the water together and enjoy eternity. To those whose families have turned against them, he will place his arm around them, and he will walk with them forever, because he will be their brother and their family. To those who suffer and die for his sake, he will raise them to stand and walk with him forever. To those whose names are cursed and ridiculed, he will write on their hearts a new name, which will be spoken of by the Father throughout eternity. Jesus looks up at the sky and then turns to me again. He explains that he has given more than each person can understand. He states that if he were told he needed to do it again, he would rise and go quickly to die and rise again so that each faithful one could live forever. It is for them that he now holds the keys to eternal life. His people are to know that tomorrow will be the end and that they never stand alone. Our temporary carnal bodies are feeble, but Jesus stands next to us and holds the keys. Tomorrow holds the future. Take his hand and hold on tightly. Know that what tomorrow holds is controlled by the Father, and his decisions are just. If you hold tightly to Jesus, your name will not be blotted from the book of life. He wants to place his robe around each of you. Jesus tells me that this is his message to all who will hear his words. I ask Jesus if, when he says tomorrow, he means tomorrow. Jesus answers, "By whose watch do you decide when tomorrow is? As it is written, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." 2 Peter 3 verse 8. When our Father decides on the day of tomorrow, it will be that day of tomorrow. It was not yesterday, and it is not today, because today you and I sit by a stream. Next, Jesus tells me that he wants me to lean forward and look at the reflection in the stream. As I do not see my reflection, but rather that of many different people of different races who are waiting to take the hand of Jesus and go with him. It will be just that one person and Jesus quietly sitting by a stream, just the two of them.